Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from windy but beautiful Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We've got a great show lined up for everyone today. We have my co-host, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda is calling in live this week from Los Angeles, California. Hello, Miss Linda.
Hello, Gina. So over here on this coast, we're having a gorgeous sunny day, but it's so cold in my house that I have my fuzzy bunny slippers on.
Is it really?
Now, of course, it depends on who you're talking to, because I suspect that our guest today is in an even colder climate than we are. I love the fact that we have an international program, and we get to give weather reports by season from around the world.
Me too.
So I have been waiting for weeks to be able to bring Carrie Green to our audience. Carrie is exactly what you and I love about the Breakthrough Direction show. She epitomizes both the entrepreneur who sees opportunities and goes after them and does whatever it takes to make them succeed, and at the same time can bring it back into the conversation to really share her learnings and her insights with the folks that we have who join us in learning from this show. So I'm so delighted to bring Carrie Green. She's the founder of the Female Entrepreneurs Association, which is, it's an online hub and a community that inspires and empowers female entrepreneurs from around the world, helping them turn their ideas into reality and build really successful businesses. So I know we're going to have so much to talk with her about and learn from, and more to tell you everything that's going on in her programs and so on. So, Carrie, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm good to be here, but let me just say, it's so much colder over here than I can imagine it is in California. It's freezing over here.
I expect. So not only the bunny slippers, but the bunny gloves and the bunny earmuffs. And
yeah, exactly.
Everything all at the same time. So just as a bit of background for our listeners, where are you over in England?
I am in Manchester, which is the northwest. So even colder.
Yeah, I think we all assume that if somebody says they're calling from England that they mean London, but wow, there's the whole of England.
Yeah. No, I spend a lot of time in London, but I am based up in Manchester.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the places that I really love to start our story is, it's clear you're an entrepreneur and that you've succeeded, and people are going to hear all about how you're now getting over 80,000 women around the world involved every week through your video and podcast show and the monthly magazine called This Girl Means Business and the new members club. We're going to be talking about all that, but I love to roll the clock back to say, so how did all this start?
Oh, my goodness. Well, oh, my gosh, where do I begin? It started a very long time ago. My dad's really entrepreneurial, and he's always been into personal development. So as a child, he was always sending me on courses and getting me to watch Jim Rohn videos when I was about 12 and reading all these personal development books. I remember he bought me the Rich Dad Poor Dad series and all these different personal development books. And I kind of got really into goal setting and that kind of thing as a teenager. And then when I was at university, I was studying law, and in my first year, I ran out of money. And so I was just like, oh gosh, what am I going to do? So I had looked into jobs and couldn't really find anything that I thought would be good to do. And then an opportunity came up to start my own business, which was to do with mobile phones. I didn't have a clue about how to build a business. I had no idea about mobile phones, nothing. But I thought it sounds way more exciting than just going to get a job. So I went for it, completely clueless, and literally had to start by thinking, how on earth do you actually build a business? So asked so many questions to so many different people and managed to get it up off the ground. And then over the next couple of years, when I wasn't studying, I was learning how to build that business. I was reading books, I was listening to audio programs, I went to night school to learn about web development. And then when I graduated in 2007, the business was going really, really well. So I decided to focus on building a business rather than going into law, and took the business global. We were reaching 100,000 people every month, selling all over the world, and it was phenomenal. But then I reached this point where I just felt so isolated. And I was like, what on earth am I doing with my life? You know, my friends were on these graduate schemes where they were mingling with like-minded people all the time, and I just didn't know anyone that was like me. So I felt, I kind of went down a slippery slope of just getting in my own head too much, and I felt so alone, and I started to think really negatively. And one thing led to another, and before I knew it, I'd packed my bags and went off to Australia traveling in the hope of having an epiphany, which I did not have. But it was amazing to go there. But then I came back 3 months later with no epiphany, back to rubbish weather in the UK, and all my problems were still there, and felt like in even more despair. And then in 2011, which was a few months after that, I just thought, I've got to do something about this. And a series of things happened, and I kind of had this light bulb moment where I just realized that I was completely responsible for the fact that I was so miserable and unhappy, and that I was the only person that could change it. So that's what I did. And then I just thought, you know what, I feel lonely, so I'm going to do something about it. And that's where I set the Female Entrepreneur Association up as a way to kind of get myself inspired, as well as to be able to create something that would inspire other people in the same situation as I was in. So that's how the whole thing started.
It's what's fascinating is the thread that winds through your story of seeing an opportunity and going after it, because each of those stages, even law school, I will say quite honestly, there were so many people who told me I ought to go to law school, and all I could see was stacks and stacks and stacks of books. And at that stage, you know, here in the United States, you don't go to law school until you've finished your undergraduate degree for the most part. And so all I could envision was 3 more years of staring at words on paper, and it made me absolutely reject the idea. Gina, on the other hand, is a full-fledged lawyer, and Gina, you had quite a career in law.
That I did. I was an environmental and toxic tort litigator for a number of years.
Yeah.
But I didn't start out thinking I wanted to be a lawyer. I was really passionate about teaching. So it was just a means to an end for me. I wanted to teach, but I didn't want to be a poor teacher. So I went to law school to become a law school professor.
Yeah, it's so interesting, you know, the interweaving of opportunities, because, Carrie, when you started the cell phone business, it wasn't because you had a passion for cell phones. It was that there, you could perceive there was an opportunity there, that if you put your elbow grease into it and your smarts and pulled your team together and so on, that you'd be able to solve this other issue, which was funding university, funding the law school courses and so on.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I'm so glad that I had the opportunity and that I ran with it and I did build it into a successful business, because I learned so much. I feel like that was the groundwork in being able to do what I've done with the Female Entrepreneur Association, because I learned so much stuff about online marketing, about building an online business. But the thing is that I think there's only so long you can do something that you're not truly passionate about for, especially when you're building a business, because it's so hard. You have so many setbacks, and there's so many challenges, and there's so many days where you just think, what the hell am I doing? And I think if you don't have that passion, then it's kind of, or, I mean, not. I think people also get confused, because I think people see other people doing things and think that they're wildly passionate about it, and then look at their own situation and think, oh gosh, and they have an off day and they think, I'm not passionate about this. Am I doing the wrong thing in my life? So it's not like I'm excited every single day about the Female Entrepreneur Association, passionate like all the time, because I'm really not. But it's completely in alignment with who I am and my values. And obviously, I am passionate about it, but I do have off days. But I think that's what the thing is. It lines up with who I am and my values, whereas I think that the other business didn't. It was a way to generate revenue, and it didn't really align at all with my core values. And so that's why I think I hit this massive wall where it's just like, it didn't mean anything. I felt so empty. And I think you hear that from so many people, that they spend so long building up these businesses and they feel so empty. And I think that was I wouldn't call it a mistake, because I learned so much from it, but I had to really kind of learn how to pull myself back on track and start getting my life going in the right direction.
You're putting your finger on something that's really worth our expanding on. I was two weeks ago, I was at an event here in Los Angeles that had 450 young women in technology, as well as more experience. There was a panel of women who had succeeded in technology businesses who were coming back to be a panel speaking about investment, it was an investors panel speaking to the people in the room. And there was a young woman who stood up and shared that she had graduated with a particular degree, and then she'd gotten involved in a startup and, you know, put her nose to the grindstone and helped it succeed. And then she had moved on to another organization where she had worked for 3 years really helping it gain traction. And then she said, and then there was this next endeavor, and now she's really looking at, you know, she really felt like she had worked so many years, and now that she was 26, and I thought to myself, I don't know if the people in this room are hearing themselves. You know, once upon a time, working at something for 20 years is when you said, I worked in that for so many years. And we have a generation coming now that having worked 3 years at something, they're really classifying that as they've worked so many years at something. And at the same time, because we're living in such a nimble, flexible business world now, you really can go quite deep, move between different jobs, different organizations, and so on, and get a lot of experience so that you actually can have the conversation about what are your values and what do you really want to be doing with your time. And I love that you brought that into this conversation, because I'd love to know at what stage you were able to articulate for yourself what your values were and how you wanted to then be using your weekday daylight hours around those values.
I think that I started to discover my values in a way that I wasn't consciously aware I was uncovering my values. But back in 2011, I read The E-Myth, and in that book helped me to build my first business. I love that book. But there's a chapter on primary aims that I completely overlooked when I read it the first time. And I remember going back to read it, and in this chapter, Michael Gerber talks about how he says, imagine walking into a room, and in the room sat on the chairs are your friends and family. And as you walk down the center of the room, you see a box. And as you get to the front of the room, you realize that you're in the box and it's your funeral. And he says, what do you want people to be saying about the kind of person that you were, about the kind of life that you lived, and about the kind of things that you achieved? And I remember when I reread that, it just hit me so hard, because I realized I didn't have a clue. And I knew I wanted to be successful, and I think I'd always had this desire to want to be successful, but I had no idea what that meant to me. So I had to start thinking about, what do I want to achieve? What kind of person do I want to be? And those things go so much deeper than the materialistic things that I'd been dreaming up before that. All my goals before that were like the car I wanted to drive, what watch I wanted, which are obviously great things to dream about. But I think that when you don't know what your values are or who you want to be, that kind of other stuff doesn't really make a difference, really. So I suppose that's when I first started to uncover my values, but I didn't know that's what I was doing. I only realized what I was doing, I think it was in 2012. I was part of a mastermind group, and some guy came along, I can't remember his name now, and he gave a session on values. And he was saying all these things about how you need to work out what your five core values are. And he gave this example about how he'd been working and he'd been so unhappy and miserable. And then he realized one day it's because everything he was doing every single day was completely not in alignment with his values. He wanted to have fun. He wanted freedom. He wanted all these things. But yet he was stuck every single day working from an office that he hated doing. He had to do stuff that he didn't find fun whatsoever. And he listed all these things, and all of a sudden you start to think, oh yeah, no wonder you were so unhappy. You were living every day going against what your values are. So that was the point at which I realized that how important values are, but also that I started before that to think about what mine were, but I wasn't consciously aware of the fact that that's what I was doing. I just read this book by Michael Gerber and thought, oh, I really need to figure out what kind of person I want to be. And they are values. You know, what is important to me, that is, they are all values. So I think it's such an important exercise for everyone to do, because I think people get to the end of their lives and still don't know what their values are in life, because no one really teaches it. You don't learn in school what your values are as a person. I think it's so important, because so many people are so unhappy day in, day out, because every single morning they wake up and they do things that aren't in alignment with who they are. And if they could just become consciously aware of what their values are, then they wouldn't have that problem.
It's a really interesting journey. Many years ago, one of my teachers pointed out that if you want to know what someone's values are, follow them for 24 hours and watch what they spend their time on and what they spend their money on. And it's an intriguing idea, because we're not usually self-aware enough to notice those two patterns about ourselves. When we watch others, we can start figuring out how we would label it or classify it or describe it, and yet to try and describe our own set of values takes time. It takes enough life experience. It takes enough variety. It takes enough exposure to others to have those experiences, see what we enjoy, what we don't enjoy, to then do that exercise for Michael Gerber of standing back and really being able to describe it.
Yeah.
And, you know, normally we don't do this on the show, but I have a song that I just used in a workshop this weekend. It's called Legacy. It's by Rick Beneteau, one of my dear friends and a co-founder in 10 Million Clicks for Peace. And it's all about what legacy will you leave as an entrepreneur. It's only about a minute and a half. Can I play that now for
everyone
to hear?
I love it, yes.
Hang on.
All you will leave behind for the world to remember is your legacy. So ask yourself, will you have earned the respect of your peers and the admiration of your critics? Will you have acted humbly at the peak of success and graceful in the face of defeat? Will you have kept your childlike wonder and reveled in the beauty of the world and the small miracles that each day brought? Will you be remembered for how often you laughed and brought smiles to the hearts of others? Will small children and the elderly have been overjoyed to be around you? Will others have trusted you with their innermost secrets? Will you have forgiven and offered heartfelt apology? Will you have looked for the very best and done your utmost to build worth in others? Will you have fed a hungry child or clothed a naked man, or given hope to a stranger in dire need? Will you have left this world a better place by the life you have lived? What legacy will you leave?
And for anyone who'd like more info about Rick, you can find it on the 10 Million Clicks for Peace site at askggg.com/peace. But
very
that's
cool.
Really what we're talking about here, right?
It really is.
Definitely.
And I think one of the things that bemused me as I was sitting in the room with 450 women in technology is part of the issues they were raising was how to, in fact, carry part of what you're putting your finger on, which is how to know oneself enough to know how to decide where to give one's time and attention and efforts and energy and so on. You know, in part because of their stage of life, it was for building a career, for building businesses and so on. But it's the compelling question for each of us, which is, you know, can I find the heart of myself? And so I figure out, you know, what it is that makes me smile when I get out of bed in the morning to shape the impact I want to have in the world, including during the times when I'm really aggravated, you know, frustrated yeah. by technology or worried about, you know, funding this effort or, you know, the myriad other challenges that come up for entrepreneurs, which is to be constantly on a learning track, constantly on a problem-solving track.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. I just think it's so important because it kind of, it just, it just completely changes your perspective on how you do things when you become more aware of the kind of person that you are, the kind of person that you want to be. Because I think in order to be successful, you do have to step up and become that person that is going to make it happen. Which is why I just think mindset, personal development, all of that is absolutely crucial, because your mindset really does determine your life. I mean, I think one of my favorite quotes of all time is Anthony Robbins. He said, "Your destiny is determined by the choices you make. Choose now, choose well." And I remember when I first read that, it really, that was another thing that just hit me hard, because I just thought, oh my goodness. And it was back when I was feeling unhappy. And I thought, you know, there's no wonder I'm feeling unhappy, because I keep making really terrible decisions. And I realized I was making these terrible decisions based off a really bad frame of mind. And I was the only person that could do something about that. So I think it kind of all just, it all tails into really the same thing, isn't it? Like knowing yourself better, understanding what really gets you going, what really lights you up, knowing what is going on in your mind and being consciously aware of it, and then realizing that you have the power to take control over it so that you can make the best decisions that are going to help you to live the most incredible life that you can live. And I just think it's all so important. And I think, like, I always talk about this, because you can have all the skills and all the talent in the world, but if you don't have the right mindset, then I think it's going to be such a struggle to make it happen, which is why I do talk about mindset all the time.
Absolutely. And you used a word that I use so often in my programs and with my students, which is the word choice. And it's so powerful when each of us truly understands we have choice. We have choice of how we think. We have choice of how we act. And therefore, we have choice about the experience we create in our lives and the results we create with our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's another really great quote that I love by Viktor Frankl. And it's something like, everything in life can be taken away from you except your freedom to choose how you respond to the situation. I just think that is so powerful. When he was writing his book, he was talking about people who were in the concentration camps in Germany during the war. And, you know, even in those situations, he was talking about the people that chose to respond well to the situation they were in, even though it was a really dire situation. And I just think that gives you so much personal power. And not enough people tap into that power and use it and realize, you know, take control and step up and make it happen. You know, people are just constantly reacting to everything that's going on around them in thinking that they can't control it, or thinking not they can't control it, thinking that they don't have a choice how they're going to respond when they do.
There's another element that you and I spoke about, which I would love to bring into this conversation, which is notion that there are so many resources around us, and sometimes the power is in being able to formulate what it is you're trying to solve so that you can turn around and go looking for help. And if we take it back to the cell phone business, it wasn't as if you were sitting by yourself in a room in isolation saying, I'm going to invent this enormously successful business. It was one step at a time of solving one issue at a time.
Yeah. Definitely. It started off, yeah, like most entrepreneurs, without having a clue what I was doing, no idea how to build a business. And yeah, it did it step by step. And I think this kind of, I think this is, brings up a really important point about being consistent, because I think sometimes people have the tendency, I think we all do, I know I've done it before, where you start something out and you feel like you get really excited about it, and then all of a sudden this reality sets in and you all these challenges and obstacles pop up and you just think, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to be able to make this happen? And then people get so worried about the fact that they don't know how to take step 80, 81, 82, that they forget about step 1, 2, and 3. And so they kind of don't keep going, and they kind of don't have that consistency, you know, the consistency to just take the next step and the next step and the next step. And I think that from building both of my businesses, that's what helped me to succeed, is just being consistent about taking the next step and forgetting, or trying to forget, how I was going to take step 80 and 90 and 100, because I didn't have a clue. And if you think about that stuff for too long, you freak out. And I just think consistency is absolutely key when it comes to building a business.
When you talk about consistency, I'm reminded of the fact that so often when talking with people about putting systems into their business, they view it as if they're standing on one side of the room and the systems are way over there on the other side of the room. And yet when we talk about consistency, we're talking about how to become systematic for ourselves about how we think about business, how we problem solve in business, how we take action in business.
Yep. Yep, definitely. All of those things. And being consistent in every sense of the word in every element of your business and committing to making it happen. But, you know, I know this is slightly off that subject a bit, but, I mean, so many people, like you said before, the world is changing and things are much more easier now to pick up and start off doing something. And social media, for example, there are so many different platforms and there's so many different things you could try out. And I think so many people start things. They have this idea to think, oh, I'm going to start video blogging. Oh, I'm going to start a podcast. Oh, I am going to, start a massive Facebook fan page. And then people try this stuff out and then realize that it's actually blooming hard to do it. Hit all these obstacles and setbacks and think, oh no, I'm gonna try this instead. And so they hop around from one thing to the next. And the thing is, entrepreneurs, we really like to do that because we're so full of ideas and we're so enthusiastic about all our ideas, it's easy to jump around. But then I think then you have this problem where then you start to lack this consistency, where if you just stuck at it and just pushed through the setbacks, pushed through the obstacles, and just kept going and kept going, you'd make massive breakthroughs and you'd make it happen. And I don't think enough people do that. I don't think enough people realize what they're doing when they're hopping around. But that's why I just think consistency is so important, because when you have consistency, then you do make those breakthroughs.
And especially in this age when social media has so many different platforms, you did something that I think is really worth sharing in as much detail as you would care to share, which is you picked one platform, LinkedIn, and you created an astounding result from that.
Yes. Well, I picked LinkedIn initially because I needed to go to – someone told me that it was a great place to go and to connect with like-minded people who I could find, you know, to share their stories on – that I could publish on the website. But then the one social platform that I chose to really tap into was Facebook, and that I chose – I just decided that I wanted to build that up because, like you said, there's so many different platforms. You could just overwhelm yourself and you'd be mediocre at all of them. So I picked Facebook and decided that I wanted to get 25,000 fans and had no idea how I was going to do it. And I just remember setting myself this goal, and I remember taking a screenshot of my fan page and going into Photoshop and editing it. So it said, instead of 20 fans or whatever it was, I changed it to say 25,000, and then I printed it off and I put it in my goal box, and I was determined to make it happen. And then I did all the things I could do and learned all I could to be able to make it happen. And then it grew and it grew and it grew, and now it's on, I don't know, 84,000 or something. But I think that is the power when you get focused on one thing and you commit to being consistent about developing it, and you stick with it even at the beginning when you're just like, this is totally rubbish, nobody's liking anything I'm posting out, nobody's engaging, nobody's interacting, you keep going. And I think that's so important with social media because, like you said, there are just so many platforms, it's easy to get overwhelmed.
And I love what you just shared about persistence yet again, because people will look at that number of 80,000 and say, oh, okay, if I could just find the magic formula, then I can create that in a month or two. It wasn't an exercise of a month or two. It was a long-running, although I don't know how to classify months anymore as long or short, but it was a many, many months effort of persistence.
Exactly. It's taken me, you know, 2.5 years, nearly 3 years to get to this point, to build that up. It's taken an awful lot of effort to get here. And, yeah, I think that's the other thing that people often – we all do it. I mean, I do it. I look to other people who are doing incredible things, and I just think, damn it, I want to be where they are now. How can I get to where they are now? And you so desperately want to just be there that you just forget how long it actually took them to make it, which is why I think – everything always takes far longer than we always anticipate or hope. Even though we think that our ideas are special and they're amazing and they're genius, it always takes so much longer, and it's quite a bitter pill to swallow. But you just have to keep going.
One of the things that's so valuable about this conversation is I think it's really important for people listening to understand that everything nowadays seems like it's easy because it's electronic. Oh, it's just go online and just post some messages and, oh, just go online and check to see if people responded and so on. If you're being business-minded, you have to view all your activities as a business. And whether it was the cell phone business that you were doing originally or this, you're not viewing this as a pastime. This is your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's elements associated with viewing this as a business. So what's a picture of a day in the life of Kerry Green now with this business?
Well, I try and sometimes when I hit, I try and create a plan for the week so that I kind of have a schedule of what I'm supposed to be doing and when I'm supposed to be doing it, because I'm so disorganized and I get easily distracted and go off track easily. So I do try and do that, but I have to admit that I don't do it all the time, but it is really effective when I do do it. But every day I try and set an intention of what I want to achieve for the day, and if I am confused and don't know what I'm trying to do, then at the very least I'll just set the intention that I'm going to have a productive, successful day to help me to get into the right frame of mind. I try and do my guided visualizations in the day to try and connect and visualize what I want to achieve. Again, I have to admit it's not something I do every single day, but I try and do it as often as I can because I think it's so important. And then when I'm working, I spend my life working on my laptop and I just communicate all day with different people. So whether it's my developer or my designer, I work on various projects and obviously work on the Facebook side. In fact, I think this is probably quite bad, but I do most practically everything myself, apart from like the development and the design, although that's only just happened recently that I've outsourced that kind of stuff. I do a lot of things, like, for example, making the videos every week for my weekly video. I make those videos, I edit those videos. So there's an awful lot of stuff that I'm doing at the moment, which perhaps I should get somebody else who's much more experienced than I am to do it. So I spend a lot of time just creating content, creating value for the network, and I think that's really key, is creating that value, pushing out that value consistently, and connecting with my audience every single day and trying to be really proactive about that. So, oh my gosh, there's so many different things going on. But I mean, I'm terrible in that. My actual daily routine, I probably get up and I sit in front of my laptop sometimes, literally, until like 11 o'clock at night. It's so unhealthy.
That's the new age of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I think to myself, one day I won't do this. One day I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do exercise. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do all this stuff. But one day just never seems to come around. So, and it's like a note to self, make it happen in 2014.
Ah, but then the question is, can you paint the description of the day and what's happening in the business that would let you use your time differently? What stage would you want the business to be at that would let you shift your role?
I want to just grow it and develop it and bring on. I'm in the process of trying to bring on a team of people to help me to drive it forward. I think it's really hard in business because I've been working on this by myself for like 2.5 years, and you get to the stage where, and I think this is a problem, that you become so controlling over what you're building because it's your vision, you know what you want. It's hard to let go of the reins and let somebody else come on board and help out. I found that when I was building my first business, we outsourced, we got to the stage where we outsourced everything, so I didn't actually have to do anything, which was good in some respects. From reading the E-Myth, where obviously Michael Gerber talks all about systems and systemizing your business, and for me that taught me how to build a smart business. So that's exactly what I'm doing with the Female Entrepreneur Association in terms of like systemizing everything so that it runs like clockwork, so that when people do come on board, it will hopefully be a smoother transition. So that's also stuff I'm working on at the moment.
I love it. So
one of my mentors, who's a DU faculty member as of January this year, is Stephanie Frank, and she is one of the most amazing productivity and efficiency experts that I've ever met. When I first started working with her, she saved me about 20 to 25 hours a week. Well, that got me down to about 40 hours a week, but it has slowly crept back up to closer to 50 hours a week now. So I'm actually forming an accountability group for myself, bringing Stephanie back into the picture, because in 2014, my goals are really, really clear. I want to double the bottom line, and I want to do it with less than 25 to 30 hours of my time per week. And I know Stephanie can help me make that a reality. If you'd like an introduction, Carrie, just let Linda or I know, and we'd be happy to get you on.
Yeah, definitely. She sounds amazing.
And Gina,
really,
it's really about taking the step back to say, what am I willing to change in my business model so that that becomes reality?
Well, it's really two parts. That's the first part. The other part is looking at both your strengths and your passions and what things should you be keeping on your plate that really are going to both serve your audience and focus on the revenue. So if I have a four-hour chunk of time, what should I be doing in that 4 hours of time? And that's what Stephanie's really amazing at looking at. All the other stuff that needs to get done maybe doesn't need to get done by you. And she can really help you to figure that piece out and then to create the systems that would allow you to bring other people on in a way that the first month, okay, it's going to be an expense the first month, but if done right, the things you have other people do in the first month become profit-generating by the second month, so that it's actually not only covering the cost of bringing the person on, but even making you more money. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to take it off your plate.
Yeah, definitely.
Very true.
So it's really
very
that
true
combination.
Yeah. And again, it's about the shift in mindset. And I love, Carrie, that you were able to verbalize for yourself that so much of it is about control. You know, when I'm working with people who have an online business or I'm working with someone who's a manufacturer, it's that same thing, that having been the launcher of their business, there is a turning point where they really have to be willing to open this, the grip that they have in order to keep control and be able to put the systems in place and be able to describe what doing it well looks like, so you can now start teaching, training, replacing yourself with others, whether it's outsourced or it's a member of the in-house team and so on, in order to let really good be good enough.
Mm. I think the key, I think one of the keys in business is to be really aware of like your own strengths and weaknesses and knowing when you need to let go of the reins of it, knowing when you're being, because the thing is, has anyone ever asked you the question, what's the biggest thing stopping you from achieving what you want? And most people come up with all sorts of answers, obviously, but I've come to the conclusion that the only real answer to that question is myself. Because I feel like we are our own, we can be our own worst enemies. And I know for me in my life, the biggest battle that I have ever faced has been with myself. You know, when you look back at things and you ask yourself questions like, why didn't I reach these goals I set myself? And questions like that, which just are so eye-opening. And I think it's so important to kind of stay on top of and be aware of where you're holding yourself back, of how you're responding to things and how you're reacting to things, see what you could be doing better, how you could tweak things, how you can grow as a person. And I think that's so important. I think it's just all part of that game, that personal development stuff, that it's just absolutely critical, because once you realise that, you can then figure out how to make it better. And like you say, like with the control stuff and leaping at the raise, you can find that you need somebody to come on board to help you with this, this and this. And it's so important in terms of moving forward consistently in business.
Yeah, wonderful. Last year, you won the Change Makers Award. Would you share with our audience a little bit of background around that?
Yeah, it was a really surreal moment. I was nominated for an award called the Change Makers, which was the award was to recognize a rising entrepreneurial star under the age of 30. And I was up against some unbelievable people that were doing incredible things. And I was just so, when I found out I was nominated, I was just so set on winning. I wanted to win. I literally did my guided visualizations every morning and every night in the whole run-up to the award, visualizing winning and hearing my name being called out on the stage. And then when it got there, I won the award. It was presented to me by Prince Andrew, which was just unbelievably surreal. And had a helicopter mentoring session with Lord Delamoria, who in the UK, he's the founder of a beer called Cobra, an amazing entrepreneur. And it was just absolutely phenomenal to win that award, especially as an entrepreneur when you do loads of things, but sometimes we don't take a step back to actually congratulate ourselves or to celebrate our own successes. And I think I do that a lot, where I forget about what I'm achieving. But to have one of those moments where somebody else recognizes something that you've achieved, it was such an incredible moment for me. So that was just an amazing thing, which just led on to so many great opportunities. So I was so happy I won.
And congratulations for it. You launched in 2012. You launched the digital magazine, This Girl Means Business, and I love the title of it. And I also love, you know, some of the ways you've used it to profile people around the world. And I'd love it if you would share some of the examples, because they're really inspirational.
The magazine launched last year, and I was really set on interviewing some incredible, inspiring people from around the world who were doing amazing things, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. And I remember people saying to me, Carrie, you're a bit crazy. How are you going to interview people like Michael Gerber and all these kinds of things? And I was just like, I don't know, but I'm going to figure it out. So I made my wish list of all the people I wanted to interview, like Michael Gerber, and he was on the cover of issue five. I've interviewed Louise Hay, Marianne Williamson, Gabrielle Bernstein, all sorts of incredible people. And I just love the magazine because I love learning new things. I love things that inspire me. And I felt like there wasn't really a magazine out there that I resonated with. There are amazing business magazines out there and success magazines, but I just felt like they were quite male, and I'm quite feminine, and so I wanted something that was a bit more like that, so I decided to create it, and it's just been an amazing experience because I've been able to work with so many contributors who've contributed incredible content that's so inspiring, and, you know, not only from a personal development perspective, but from a business development perspective as well, so lots of marketing tips, social media tips, sales tips, all sorts of things like that. So it's been an incredible adventure to put that magazine together, and it's exciting. I'm working on the next one at the moment, which has got Danielle Laporta on the front cover. So her interview was amazing.
She's amazing. I love Danielle. I love her use of language. I love her. I think she's a brilliant writer, philosopher, inspirer. So it's so cool that you're having her.
I've just loved putting that together, and the feedback's always been so incredible, so kept me going.
And it's a great partnership between the digital magazine and your original heartfelt passion behind the reason for creating the Female Entrepreneur Association.
Yeah, I think this all comes back into, again, being really clear on why I'm doing it, which I think is such an important thing when you start a business, to know why you're doing something. And for me, it's all about inspiring and empowering other people to achieve incredible things. So that always helped me to stay focused on what I'm doing, whether it's a post on Facebook or whether it's launching the magazine or doing my weekly videos. Everything's always in alignment with that mission. And I think an amazing book that really helped me to get clear on that was the book called Start With Why by a guy called Simon Sinek. He's got a TED talk. It's unbelievable. I just remember watching it thinking, oh, wow. And in his book, he talks about how you need to get really clear on why you're doing something. And I'm sure he has something in there called the celery test, I think, where basically if you you know, obviously when you're running a business, you have so many decisions to make. And I find that so many people come to me with different opportunities and want to get involved, and they want me to get involved in different things. And it's always so enticing. You just want to do everything. But there's a celery test where you have to say, is this really going to meet why I'm doing what I'm doing? So, for example, if someone came to me to say, hey, and you've got a network full of entrepreneurs, I sell telecom services to entrepreneurs, do you think we should do a joint venture? I would say no, because it wouldn't pass my celery test, in that it wouldn't really be in alignment with what I'm trying to achieve in terms of inspiring entrepreneurs and inspiring people. Like, in principle, it doesn't, you know, obviously telecom, it's a business service that's great for entrepreneurs, but it's not really in alignment with my mission. And sometimes I kind of go off it and just ignore the celery test when I feel like a gut instinct to do something. But on the whole, I find that really helpful to keep me staying on track with what I'm doing, because I think it comes back to the thing as well of there are so many great things going on online these days and so many opportunities that it is easy to jump from one thing to the next and get carried away in all these different things and then find yourself quickly going off track. So that's really, really helped me and helped me to make sure that everything that I do is consistent with that message, which then obviously helps people to know completely what the Female Entrepreneur Association is about and what they can expect from it as a member.
Right, keeping a very consistent vision and making sure everything anchors and ties and aligns with that vision. The Female Entrepreneur Association, there's sort of a two-directional flow in what you're doing, because you're taking it out around the world to be able to inspire people, and at the same time, by connecting with people around the world, the inspiration is flowing back in from who those people are and what it is that they're doing in their worlds and their countries and their markets. And you've got a couple of really delightful stories that I just think really exemplify that.
Yeah, I mean, the series on the website, the How She Did It series, those stories are amazing. From people all over the place, from all different backgrounds, all different circumstances, from women that got made redundant and started a business to women that had cancer and started a business, and from girls in their teens to women in their 60s plus. It's just amazing. And when I created that, I wanted to be able to create something where women could go and find stories about someone that was just like them. Because I think if you can see somebody who's just like you doing something that you want to do, it helps you to believe that you can do it too. And I think that's so powerful.
It is. It truly is. And it's such a part of the Female Entrepreneur Association. It's such a true interweaving that it really creates this expanded feeling of community that's truly very global and very connected.
Yeah.
So you have a new program that I would love for you to share, because I think it's so important for people to understand how many different ways they can learn from what you're doing, participate in what you're doing through the Female Entrepreneur Association, the magazine, and so on. So let's talk for a while about the Members Club.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this. Slash nervous. The Members Club is something that I've been working so hard on lately. It's been an idea that I've had for quite a while, but it's also kind of come to a head because this year I ended up creating a thing called Mission for March because somebody I knew sent me this big goal to go from 34,000 fans at the beginning of March to getting 50,000 fans at the end of March. And I was like, you've got to be crazy. I'm never going to be able to make this happen. So against all my normal mindset rules.
over and over again.
He said to me, Carrie, you always tell people to go big or go home, so you should take your own advice. And I was like, oh, gosh. So he sent me this challenge to get 50,000 fans in less than a month, and I was like, oh, what do I do? So I started to make this plan for myself, and then this idea for Mission for March popped into my head, and I was like, I know, I will get everyone to set themselves a massive, scary, big goal to reach by the end of March. And then I created this free guide of like all the questions that I'd used to help me with my goal and all things I thought would be helpful, and got it really nicely designed and put it out there as a free guide to people, and the response was phenomenal. I could not believe it. People emailing me months and months later being like, oh my gosh, I just did Mission for March. Thank you so much. I achieved so much. So then I did another one in May called the May Review, which was like a big review and all sorts of questions to help people really uncover what was going on and to set new goals and to create a game plan. And that went down amazingly well too. So then I put a message out to my network to say, if I started creating more of these, would you like it? And the response was insane, like people saying, I need as much as possible to help keep me accountable, to help keep me inspired, to help keep me moving forward. Because I think that is the thing, that in business, so many of us are so alone, and it can be so easy to feel demotivated and to not do the things that you say you're going to do because you don't really have that accountability. So that's when I started to really formulate this idea for the Members Club, of a place where people could come to kind of connect and get feedback and ask their questions, but also a place where there was going to be monthly challenges and monthly workbooks and fun things to go along with it, so that people could get involved if they wanted to and just try and use it as something where they could come for inspiration, but also to kind of get them to do stuff and to take action. So, for example, the first month, it's launching, literally, it's any day. And the first month's all about programming your mind for success. So you know, like all the things that people know we should be doing, you know, like the guided visualizations and being more consciously aware of what we're thinking and all of that stuff. We all know we should be doing it, but it's so easy to put off and for like the, you know, be like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. We never do it. So the whole idea is that we can come together as kind of like a big group of people who are like-minded to kind of take these challenges together and to work on it all together and to help support one another. So I'm so excited about it, and I've been working so hard on putting it all together, and it gets hard because there's so much stuff you want to keep adding and keep adding, and you think, oh my gosh, you have to stop at some point, otherwise you'll overwhelm everyone. But I am so excited to actually get that out there and to launch it properly.
Yeah, it's quite wonderful. And, you know, for folks who are listening now, the link to reach the Female Entrepreneurs Association Members Club is always, it's in the show notes. And for those of you who are listening, we created a nice short link, a lot less to type, which is bbdnow.com/FEA Club. F like female, E entrepreneur, A association, FEA Club. So it would be really wonderful to have people come and join in and become members. And really, the content that you put out is really quite remarkable. I've been to many sites, and this is one of the first times where I feel that there's such a true community being put together, and the spirit of serving is throughout everything that you've done in the site association.
Thank you. I try so hard to put in as much value as I can and to do as much as I can, because that's what it's all about, isn't it? Helping other people and genuinely making a difference.
And there's so much to be grateful for. I think, you know, we were talking earlier about women in technology and what technology is changing in our world, and it's enabling us to have such a larger reach, a global reach. It's enabling us to do it for such a small economic investment. Yes, it's changing how we have to use our time and our attention and our energy. And at the same time, it's creating so many opportunities for people to find out what's their expertise, how to use it to be of service and to serve a wider audience and make an amazing impact in the world. And to me, that's in large part what this epitomizes, that you're doing with your background in business building and realizing for yourself the hunger you yourself had to feel inspired about what you were doing to maintain the momentum. And the Female Entrepreneur Association does such a beautiful job of bringing all of those elements together.
Thank you so much. It's nice to hear.
As an entrepreneur, when you look ahead, I know I'm asking you this in the middle of launching a program, but when you look ahead for what's your vision for yourself and how you want to be using your time entrepreneurially, what does that look like 3 years from now, per se?
I would just like to keep building the Female Entrepreneur Association up and make it better. I mean, my goal is to reach millions of people around the world with that, which is quite a big goal, so I need to work hard at it. I have other goals as well. Like I'd love to actually do more product-based stuff as well, which I'm really excited about. All linked into inspirational things, but my main focus is the Female Entrepreneur Association and developing that and just making that bigger and reaching more people and inspiring more people through that, really.
Very cool.
And hopefully having a wonderful team of people that are on board helping me to develop it and also helping them to kind of create amazing life for themselves as well. So that would be amazing if there was more of a team around it.
It's so true. And as you put that team together and as this community grows, you're going to be flooded with people with ideas and suggestions for how to make that happen.
Yeah, definitely. I'm so excited about it all.
I also love what you were sharing, which is that you find yourself not using the mindset management techniques you yourself know are available, but you're building them into the members club.
Yeah,
there's nothing quite like using one's own tools and reminder system, you know.
I need to do it myself. That's the thing. Like, I'm looking forward to the success challenge. I'm going to get into it. But no, one of the things that I put together, like, I've been working with some experts on putting something together for a month on financial abundance, and it is amazing. And I am not perfect at any of this stuff at all. Like, mindset to me is crucial. I've learned so much about it, but I have to relearn things all the time. I have to constantly tell myself to do things. I have to constantly call upon like my friends and people around me to be like, to say, Carrie, you need to start doing this. You need to start having a bit more faith in this. And I'm like, oh yeah, I must remember. So I'm always doing this stuff that I don't think I'll ever reach a point where I'm like some incredible person at having this incredible mindset. But I think it's something you always work on developing, and I always try and stay open and transparent about that with people. Obviously when I'm working with other people, because I'm definitely not perfect, but I've learned so much, and I feel like what I do learn is so powerful because I call upon it all the time.
And it's part of what makes you powerful, both as an entrepreneur and as a leader, that transparency that you were just talking about, because it keeps showing people, I'm one or two or 10 steps ahead of you, but every one of those steps was one I walked, and you can walk it too.
Yeah, definitely. I think in business it's so important for that, because when you start something by yourself and you see how, you look at all the amazing people around you and online today, and you think, oh my gosh, will I ever be able to get there? And I think it can put a lot of people off, and it can make you feel, like you're not good enough yourself. So I just think that the more people that are more transparent about their journeys, the more it will encourage people to stick at it and to be like, oh, yeah, okay, so I can do this too because she did it like this, this, and this, and, or she had this setback, or she had days when she thinks she's absolutely barking mad because she's running a business. and I think it's always refreshing to know those kinds of things, especially when you're working by yourself and you're trying to make an idea, you're trying to turn your idea into a reality. It's scary as hell, and I think the more transparency you have around other people building businesses, the better it is, and the more inspiring it is for other people.
And that transparency is so important. We live in such an age of celebrity, and of course you truly can become an overnight celebrity, and you'll be a celebrity for perhaps 15 minutes unless you go viral. But the truth is you can, with very little effort, become a celebrity, which is not the same thing as being a successful entrepreneur, and that entrepreneurship really does take the falling down and getting back up and taking three steps forward, feeling like you've slipped back, and grabbing the handrail, grabbing the hand of someone else and letting them help you up to the next step, to the next level, and so on. So
definitely,
when you think about the folks who are now coming into the Female Entrepreneur Association, or the entrepreneurs who are listening to us now, is there a particular first step for someone who's really pulled up their bootstraps and says, that's it, I want to move into being an entrepreneur?
I think learn as much as you possibly can. And I think this is where, I know I talk about it so much, but I think this is where the whole mindset comes in. I would go and read as many books as I could. I'd go and learn as much as I could. I would try and get really, really clear on what it was that I wanted to achieve, because there's a great quote that says, lack of clarity causes resistance, because if you don't know what you're trying to achieve, then how do you know what decisions you need to be making? And I think people go round and round and round in circles for ages if they don't have clarity. So I think getting that foundation in place is kind of really key. And oh my gosh, I could go on and on forever, but
One of the things I think I'd love for both of us to share with those who are listening is there's nothing more powerful than being able to see clearly a vision of what it is you're trying to accomplish. With the folks that I work with, it's both what's the vision for your life and what's the role that business is filling in creating that life. So what's the vision for your life? What's the vision for your business? And it's not set in cement. It's merely to have that picture so clearly that you can align all your upcoming efforts to achieving it. And guess what? When you achieve it, you get to sit back and say, great, what's my next vision? What are the next set of goals I want to work towards? And it's a repeating and refreshing process.
Yeah, I think that's so important as well, because I think that it can be really easy to not get started on something because you're not 100% certain whether it's the right thing, and you're worried that if you say it's your goal that it's set in stone forever and that you can't change. And I think that one of the great keys is just to get started. And because when I got started with the Female Entrepreneur Association, obviously I had a an idea of why I was doing it and where I wanted to go, but I didn't know that I didn't really know I was going to do the magazine. I didn't really know I was going to start doing videos. That all happened because I got going, and then you meet people and you learn new things, and somebody tells you something and you find something out, and then you start to develop more and more stuff as you go along down your journey. So I think the real key is to get started.
Right, it's about being in the process, not being stuck in design until it's perfect, because then, of course, there's nothing that's been brought out into the world to test it, to let it take shape, let it succeed, let it open up new opportunities.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so the Female Entrepreneur Association, the members club, which people can find at bbdnow.com/FEA club, what is it that you have planned on the inside of that club?
So obviously, like, there's the community and the forums that you can ask questions and you can connect with like-minded women, and you have a profile and all that kind of stuff. And then obviously once a month there's the new release of, it's called A Bundle of Business Love. Because I wanted to be fun and inspiring, and that every month they could get excited about receiving this bundle. It's like a little business present for themselves. So each month I receive that. So, for example, like in Success Month, there's a success guide. It's like an overview of different things, that strategies that have helped me so much to make massive breakthroughs. There's a workbook they can work through to like create their own success manifesto and all sorts of other things. And then a daily planner, a checklist, a guided visualization to download and to listen to every morning and night if they can, to help really program their mind for success. So each month, fun things that's not overwhelming, but just bits of fun. And then there's a mastermind call every month as well, where we can get together with different experts and take time to kind of chat about things, and a place where people can ask questions and kind of just get a bit more inspired about everything and feel like they're part of something. And then there's lots of opportunities for the members, so opportunities to contribute on the website, opportunities for to contribute to the magazine, opportunities to be member of the month. I think what I like a lot is the fact that I have built up this big network, and I feel like I can use that network now with people that I work more closely with to be able to use it as a platform for them to kind of raise awareness of what they're doing. So like things through contributing on the blog and the website, and being able to like share that with my fan page of over 80,000 fans, and being able to put out there what amazing stuff they're doing and their amazing knowledge and expertise at the same time as raising awareness of them. So there's lots of different opportunities, but I feel like this is just the beginning. I've got so many other ideas and things that I want to do, so I can't wait to get stuck into it. And I'm so excited that this is finally going live, because I can start working more on all these things. So I'm
Well, I'm so excited for you, and I thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all of it with our listeners, and I know I'll be seeing you in the Members Club. So thank you, Carrie, so much for the time that you spent with us today.
Well, thank you so
thank
much
you
for having
so
me.
Thank you so much, Carrie.
Thank you.
And Linda and I will be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.